Good morning. Welcome to worship at Little Sitar Church of the Brethren. It's a joy to see all your smiling faces and to have this time together with God. This is welcome and invocation. I'm just checking my, I have announcements and prayer concerns later. This is kind of a custom design service by Richard, and it doesn't quite fit with what I'm used to, so I'm a little bit winging this, but this is now a time of invocation, and I think what we're doing is invoking God to come and be with us for this time of worship. So if you would, please bow your head and pray with me. Dear Lord, we are here to worship you and to spend this time with you. We pray that you would come and be with us, and that our praise, our worship would be pleasing to you. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, Richard has a time of greeting of fellow worshipers here. It's a little bit of throwback. So stand up and greet your neighbor and say hello and kind words. Take your time, we're in no hurry. It is good to greet each other, to smile and to laugh. Time for announcements and prayer concerns. The announcements, I'm not aware of any announcements that need to come. Well, I'm kind of aware of one, but anybody have an announcement that they need to bring this morning?
I just want to share that the choir season is ending, so there will be no more choir practices on Wednesday night until we come back to the fall when school time starts again in September. But if anyone would be interested in providing special music throughout the summer, either at our 8:15 or 10:30 worship service, we have a sign-up sheet that's back here in the choir room, or you can see me, and we'll be glad to find a Sunday that it works for you to share your voices with us. Thanks.
It's always fun when the whole church gets to do things together. And so this coming Saturday, the women are going to be making plenty of food down at the pavilion. So if you like to eat, come on down there. And if you like yard sales, ladies, well, and some guys, feel free to come to the yard sale. And usually I say, and men, you're invited to bring your tractors, your cars, your trucks to our show. And then once in a while, a woman does it. So men and women, you're invited to bring your cars, your trucks, and your tractors. And maybe you have a motorcycle, or maybe you have a tool display, or something like that. Feel free to bring them next Saturday from 8 to 1.
Wow. I can still hardly believe that it's May already, but we're almost done with May. I do have one other announcement. It'd be an update on the search team. We have met so many times since January. I wanted to count up all the meetings that we had and multiply by the hours of the meetings and the number of people that were there to kind of show you how much we've put in. But safe to say we've met two or three times each month at a minimum of 2 hours, probably 2.5, some even longer. And we put a lot of time and energy into this. And it's been work. It's been kind of tiring. But it's also been very uplifting. It's neat to be a part of that process, but it's so wonderful to feel the encouragement, the prayers that people are offering on account of this process, and that's kind of building us up, supporting us with your prayers. And we, as prayer requests going forward, this is a time of discernment that we need to make. We will be doing two face-to-face interviews. We've interviewed a number of people over the phone and via a video chat. We've come now to have two candidates that we're going to interview face-to-face, and this is getting to be the time where we really need discernment. We need God's input and our attention to God's leading. So please pray for us in this time that we would have that discernment, and that the candidates themselves would have that discernment as well as to God's will in all of our lives. I think I covered it. Any other announcements? We got three so far. I think we're good with announcements. We'll go for joys and prayer concerns. We have Jeremy over here. Anybody?
I have a joy, and this comes on behalf of the search committee as well. You guys really put some wind in our sails when we asked last week for some help cleaning the parsonage. And it's my understanding that that place is looking really, really good right now. So we thank everybody that was involved with helping out with that. And you really put some wind in our sails, and thank you for that.
I had a safe trip to California this week, so thank you for all the travel mercies that everyone sent my way. But I did want to raise up the people in California who are being affected by the forest fires. One of my friends actually can see the fires from her backyard. She lives in San Clemente, and so she and her husband have been kind of preparing for evacuation, the possibility of evacuation. And I know there's people who've lost houses. The news out there, I watch the news every morning, and it's just kind of sad because people have lost everything, and so just keep them in your prayers.
This morning, my neighbor called me, and her son and a bunch of young Mennonite boys ventured Friday afternoon to Clearfield up in Elk County to do some canoeing. And yesterday early in the morning, there were 20 of them, one of the canoes flipped over. Three boys were in the water. Two came out, one didn't. A bunch of the Mennonites left this morning to help search for this young man, the Martin family, 20 years old. His name was Cleavon. So let's keep that family in prayers. They had helicopters, dogs, and as of 6:30 last night, they still haven't found his body. And pray for all the other young men that ventured on this adventure and had to go. They had to hike out of a valley to get help. They were down in a deep ravine in the river. It branches off into the, I don't know how many of you have ever been up there, it branches into the Susquehanna. And they had to hike up for like 3-4 hours to get cell so that they could get help.
It's hard.
Yes, I'm grateful for this beautiful weather we've been having the last few days. I'm also very grateful to be in this congregation and the brethren, and it's been a real joy for me.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing your joys and concerns, and please remember these throughout the week, as well as the many that are listed in the bulletin. It is a joy to be together, to share the good and to share the bad. And thanks, John, for mentioning that. Get to kind of switch gears a little bit and sing a hymn. Richard, did you want to say something about the hymn before the hymn or after? No, I'm going to skip that. The hymn is He Lives, and it's an insert in your bulletin, so pull it out. To sing He Lives, and we know that He lives. This is a time for the morning prayer. Please join me in prayer. Good morning, Lord. We come to You this morning so thankful for the many blessings that You pour out on us each day. You have created this world and everything in it with great care. Your creation displays amazing beauty. We enjoy the blue sky, the green grass, a variety of bright colors and flowers, the red feathers of a cardinal, the bright blue of a bluebird. We love the softness of a fluffy kitten. We love the sturdiness of the oak tree. We love the fragrance of the blossoming flowers and trees, the sweet flavor of a strawberry. Thank You for Your wonderful creation and for creating us with that same great care in such a way that we can hear, touch, see, taste, and smell the wonders of Your creation. Thank you for giving us bodies to glorify you, hands to serve you, hearts to love you, lips to praise you, and voices to raise in song. Lord, we pray that our worship of you this morning would be pleasing to you. Let our praise be pleasing to you. We praise you for the joys that we've had this week, the joys of safe traveling, the joys of beautiful weather, and the joys of meeting with our fellow Christians here in this church. We bring you our concerns, with the concerns of the search process, that you would help us and direct us in choosing the pastor that you wish to serve here among us. We pray for the people who are facing the fires in California as the forest burns. We pray for the family of Cleavon Martin in losing him in this canoe trip. We pray that you would guide them as they search for his body and comfort them in the loss. Lord, we know that you are a loving God who cares for our every need. We place our needs before you, and we anticipate your response. We know that you who created us will sustain us. We rest in that knowledge of your sustaining care. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Can stay standing while I do the offertory thought. I have an offertory that I prepared, and I will read it. First things first. Are you a list maker? Whether you are or aren't a list maker, we all live by a list. We do what's most important to us. We prioritize and take care of the top items on our list. That same goes for our money. We may or may not live by a budget, but we have reasons for spending and saving the way that we do. Our first things come first, whether they're sound or just selfish. We may never get to some of the things that are lower on our list. Thankfully, the Bible comes right out and tells us what our first financial thing needs to be. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. It's Proverbs 3, verse 9. Before one dime goes toward dinner out or a new DVD, or even toward the mortgage or insurance or utility bills, giving to God through the church where you worship should come right off the top, first thing, or how easily it becomes a forgotten thing. If this sounds a little too radical and expensive, seek out someone that you know who manages their money by this principle and ask if it's proven to be a bust to their financial health, a decision they've grown to regret. See if instead God hasn't opened up the floodgates of heaven and poured out on them a blessing without measure. That's Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. When the Lord comes first, everything else just falls into place. Pray with me for a moment. We ask you, Lord, to help us to realize that everything we own or earn comes from you. May we be grateful enough to honor you with our giving and to grow our trust in you at the same time. Amen.
To be your friend, offers love.
Before I begin my meditation for the morning, I'd like to talk about the first hymn we sang. In 1932, Alfred Ackley, the pastor of a Presbyterian church in California, as was his normal Sunday morning activity, he turned on the radio to listen to different religious programs. There were no TV evangelists in 1932, no texting. He couldn't check his email. And partway through the one service, they said, "We interrupt this program to bring you a program from New York City." And this is the first statement by that pastor in New York City. "Good morning. It's Easter, you know. You know, folks, it really doesn't make any difference to me if Christ is risen or not. As far as I am concerned, his body could be as dust in some Palestinian tomb. The main truth is his truth goes marching on." Well, Reverend Ackley had been working with a young Jewish man who would ask the question, "Why should I worship a dead Jew?" And Reverend Ackley always said, "That's the whole point. He isn't dead. He's alive." And then he heard this statement by this minister that he didn't care if he had risen from the tomb or not. And he was quite upset. Now, if you know something, you guys have to know something about guns, right? Double barrel shotguns. So when he got to church that morning, he said, "I gave him the whole first barrel." And they had church Easter evening also. And he said, "And I gave him the second whole barrel." And when he got home, he wasn't done talking about this. And his wife said, "Alfred, do what you do best. Write a song." So he went back and he turned to Mark chapter 16, verses 6. "He is risen. He is not here." And he started putting the words together, and all three verses came very easily. The next day he sat down at the piano. It didn't take him long, and he had the music to it. And so some people say, "Why did you sing an Easter song today?" But for me, that's a 52 Sunday a year song. That's not just an Easter Sunday song. Now, if you'd like to take that hymn home with you, that's fine. If it's only going to end up in the circular file, then I would recommend that you take it out of your folder at the end of worship today and put it in that slot in the back of your hymn book. That's a suggestion. And now the scripture. "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? We remember you feeding 5,000 men and their wives and their children from just a few loaves and several fish. We've never seen you hungry once. When did we see you thirsty or a stranger and took you in? You've always had clothing. We've never had to provide any for you. Sick and in prison, visited you? You haven't been sick or in prison one time in the 3 years you were ministering to us." And Christ replied, "Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you've done it for me." Now I'd like to pick up with verse 40, and I'm reading from Clarence Jordan's The Cotton Patch Version. 41, "And then he will say to those on his left, 'Get away from me, you fallen skunks, and into the flaming hell reserved for the confuser and his crowd. I was hungry, and you shared nothing with me. I was thirsty, you gave me no water. I was a stranger, and you didn't welcome me. Ragged, you didn't clothe me. Sick and in jail, you didn't stand by me.' Then these two will ask, 'Sir, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or ragged or sick or in jail and do nothing about your needs?' And then he will answer, 'When you failed one of these humblest people, you failed me.' These will take an awful beating, while the just will have the joy of living." I'd like to start at verse 31 And I'd like to say that when you look at your versions of the New Testament, it probably says, when the Son of Man comes in all his glory with all his angels. Clarence Jordan was working with very common people like you and me, and in many cases, illiterates, in America's Georgia. He created, or he helped create, the Koinonia Partners. Today, you might order pecans from them, or maybe some of their fruitcakes, or some of the other products they have. It's a farming community. They have their own school, they have their own church. You can go and volunteer there for a year and more, and they'd be happy to have you. But he was writing to the common people. Now, in your version, it probably says he separated the sheep from the goats, putting the goats on the left, the sheep on the right. And the people in Matthew's time and in Jesus' time raised the goats and the sheep together. But at shearing time, they got separated. And when it was time to sell them off to market, they got separated. Well, the people of America's Georgia didn't raise sheep and goats. They raised cows and pigs. And so to the man Beck's here today, I'm sorry to have to read to you what he says. He puts the sheep, he puts the cows on the right and the goats on the left. I'm sorry, he puts the cows on the right and the pigs on the left. So they're not the choice ones. It says in Clarence Jordan's version, when the Son of Man starts his revolution with all his band around him, then he will assume authority and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will sort them out like a farmer separates his cows from his hogs, penning off the cows on the right and the hogs on the left. And then the leader of the movement will say to the people on his right, which I had done first. So Jordan was trying to put this in words that the people who could read and write and those who couldn't read and write could understand on an everyday basis. The idea of giving, as spoken here by Matthew and having been told by Christ, I needed some kind of a focus to understand. And what I remember is my mom. She was born in 1914. World War I ended in 1919. And so she was too young to know the animosities of World War I. She went to school in Lebanon County, and as many kids did, she got a pen pal. Her pen pal's name was Charlotte, and Charlotte lived in Germany. Okay, jump a generation. I was born in 1942. 3 months and 2 days after Pearl Harbor. But I don't remember the Second World War. It ended in 45. However, my mother got letters from Charlotte, even when I was knowledgeable. And Charlotte was destitute. And she asked my mother if she wouldn't send food. Now, how many of you are old enough to remember rationing coupons? Yeah. So my mom would take rationing coupons to go get food to send to Charlotte in Germany. Now I had to rely on my sister Esther a little bit. I remembered that she put dried beans and rice in, but what Charlotte craved, my mother used our rationing coupons to buy. She craved coffee. She craved chocolate bars. She craved cocoa, hot cocoa. Now today you mix it with water. Back then you didn't mix it with water. So my mother bought dried milk and she packaged these things to send to Europe. Well, you know, if she used those rationing coupons to buy something for Charlotte, that meant less for us. And later on, as I got older, there were no rationing coupons anymore. But I got into an argument with my mother. My objection started with, number one, she's our enemy. And my mother said, she's not our enemy. She's from Germany. My mother said, but she's just like you and me. She didn't start the war. She didn't want the war. I said, number two, she's a doctor's wife. They're rich people. She said, but not in Germany. They're just as destitute as everybody else. I said, number three, there's less for us. And she said, are you hungry? No, I wasn't. Now, about that time, The Church of the Brethren also instituted what today we know as Heifer Project. And when you get our history book and open it, you can read about the seagoing cowboys. Some of them were from our congregation. Some people from our congregation gave heifers and horses, because in Europe, all the horses and all the cows, all the sheep and the goats and everything else had been taken and eaten. And so we started sending animals over there, because you and I know that milk is essential. And they needed something other than humans to pull their plows in order to do some farming again. There are other ways now that we can help. Heifer International has grown to every corner of the world. Maybe you get a magazine from Heifer International called The World Ark. Each issue, about four times a year, talks about different projects. And we get to learn that people in South and Central America are happy for something so small as honeybees, because honey is essential to our good health. And we have learned that rabbits, people raise a lot of rabbits, gives them basic food, and chickens and ducks and geese, they need those. They still offer heifers. In Romania, for instance, they are allowed to use 80% of the milk for their own families. They give 20%, and that is used to make cheese and yogurt. And this cheese and yogurt goes to children that are destitute. A lot of families, in a recent issue of World Ark, they showed the work with Heifer International serving people in Romania who the only homes they have are what the parents find to nail together on the trash heaps. And so it might be wood, or it might be plywood, or it might be a piece of plastic. And so they have nothing. And through Heifer International, we help them. I noticed in the bulletin that some of you are supporting another project of the Church of the Brethren called the Global Hunger Crisis. It's administered by a young man who grew up in Lebanon by the name of Jeff Beauchart. And recently, according to an email I got, they are in the Philippines helping. You remember the tsunami took so much away from those people. They're helping in one village who were fishermen. They lost their boat and they lost their nets, washed away. And so through the global hunger crisis, they have bought a boat for the community and nets, so that they can start providing for the people's needs and to sell some so that they can buy other basics. We were talking about cows and milk. Through Heifer International, some of the people in the Far East who are destitute, we give them water buffalo, partly to pull their plows, but they milk the females, and then they have fresh milk for their children. On the deserts, they now are buying camels, because the people milk the camels so that they have milk for their children. You and I might be smiling because these days in America, there is a fuss about milk that hasn't been pasteurized. So raise your hands if you drank milk straight from the cow to the bucket to the, there's a lot of hands have gone up. And look at that, you're still alive. Don't let the news media find out about little Spatara. So anyway, they're doing these things that are so basic. In 1983 at an annual conference, I met the man who the church sent to Nigeria. They provided a truck and shovels and picks and forms and bags of cement. And he helped the people of these villages dig out around their well, their community well, and cement it and put a top on it so they'd have clean water instead of water that was contaminated. We're still doing it. It costs pretty much to do one well. I had read somewhere that it cost about $10,000 for one well, just to dig it down and then pour the cement, put a top on so that the people can get fresh water. Well, here in southeastern PA, we don't normally think too much about fresh water. We assume that. And so is God, is Jesus in Matthew saying, provide fresh water. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. There's some people who are not satisfied with the giving to organizations, and they feel that the administration or the administrative costs are too high with some of these organizations that send you letters about 52 weeks a year, sometimes twice a week. I read a comparison with the costs for administration in the Church of the Brethren. And sometimes we can cut it down to a third or a fourth of what the national organizations cost. And so sometimes that's of importance to people. You might say to me, well, everything you've talked about is the opening of my wallet or the writing of a check. Is that it? And the answer is no. There are other ways. In that scripture we've read, Jesus said, when I was sick, you came to visit me. When I was in prison, you sat and talked with me. Are there ways we can do this? In the April Messenger, Peggy Gish had a good article on Christian peacemaker teams. Now, you may remember, some of you, that Art Gish, her wife, her husband, had been here some years ago. He had come back from the Middle East working with the Christian peacemakers, and the Israelis were coming in with their bulldozers into the Palestinian towns and city and bulldozing whole blocks of homes at a time. So they would try to find out the night before where they're going tomorrow, and a whole pile of peacemakers would sit on the roof of the house. And then when the bulldozer got there, they said, get off the roof or you're gonna die. And they said, no, we'd like to talk about this. And they would discuss the idea that you're taking away their home. Sometimes it worked. Sometimes they took the bulldozer and left. Sometimes it didn't help. They had to get off the roof or die. Well, Art has passed away, but Peggy continues with the Christian peacemakers. And she asks us to call attention to what I think Christ is talking about in that scripture. How do we call attention to the plight of the poor and the oppressed? Well, here are some of her ideas. Number one, the accompaniment of in the form of presence, of advocacy, of defying the label enemy. We were in Iraq so long, and when the Christian peacemakers went to Iraq, they sat in the tent, which was now the home of a family whose house had been demolished by our bombs. And when they found out that these people were from America, the husband was livid. How can you come here and sit down with us? And they tried to explain that that wasn't their idea at all. They were not in favor of taking the common people's livelihoods. And she says by the time they left, at least the husband wasn't as angry. Number two, she says truth-telling. Now, some of you are very creative in this way. She says gather information, write articles, write letters to government officials or to the newspaper editors, and or use art forms such as song, drama, film, posters. Use these to tell the truth about the situation. Also to point to the alternatives or the solutions. She also suggests that actions can take the form of street theater, mock villages, die-ins to dramatize what the U.S. military intervention, global anti-terrorism campaigns, drone warfare really mean for the people on the ground. She suggests that we can call attention to the plight of the immigrants kept in detention camps with no legal representation just because they lack documentation. We can help people realize what cutting food stamps means for the poor. Not that they don't want to work, but that they can't find a job. And she suggests
we work in ways to help the government understand that. Or as a group, we could call for a fast to call attention to hunger in our communities. Her conclusion partially is this: responding to Jesus' mandate to be peacemakers isn't easy. The crises in our society can seem overwhelming, and sometimes it is hard to hold on to our faith that love really is more powerful than evil or hate. It can require going beyond our comfort zone or result in being hurt or even killed as we open ourselves to the anger and pain of others, or as we upset the equilibrium of violent structures. As one of my closing thoughts, I'd like to quote Martin Luther King Jr. He said, "Everyone can be great because everyone can serve." A key word, serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't even have to make your subject and your verbs agree to serve. You know, I can hardly read that sentence. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love. Serve, grace, love. And so I ask, if you looked at the cover of the bulletin, might you be one who decides to be a disaster relief child care worker? Might you be one of those who works through disaster relief? I'll admit that when I left teaching in 04, I had all kinds of energy. I decided I was going to go on one disaster relief project minimum per year. Well, sometimes health says to us, no, you're not. And so I haven't. But we can make our choices. We can work within our possibilities. We can give. We can serve. Either physical work or what I call the armchair process, opening our checkbooks, using our pen. Could Christ have meant both? Yes, he mentions both. So, in whatever you can do, the call is by Christ that we do it. I see that there's some of the JC members who were charter members of the Northwestern Berks JCs, and some children of them. And so I'd like to offer as my closing statement the last sentence of the JC Creed. Service to humanity is the best work of life. Let us pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for being in our hearts today. Thank you for giving us the ability to listen to your word and to answer your call. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
let me be your servant? Will you let me be as Christ to you? Pray that I might have the grace to let you be my servant too. May God be gracious to you this week.